Tomorrow, it's the premiere of ESPN Films' latest documentary, 144, an unprecedented look at last year's WNBA season in the bubble. It's executive produced by our very own Chinee Ogumbuike. It explores the season dedicated to social injustice and everything the players overcame to get through it. It's 9 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app, and it'll be available on ESPN Plus immediately following the premiere. And we are jam-packed on this incredibly busy day. The schedule for week one is out, and we're getting to it as we come to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I'm Greeny, and here's the menu for hour number two. Let's go. It is time to get up with a true Hollywood thriller. Right down to the wire. One of the stars limps off at the finish. So much to get to, and we'll be there in just a moment. Meanwhile, explaining the inexplicable, Urban talking Tebow. You need to hear every word he had to say, and you will. And of course, we've got your first look at the week one schedule for next season. Where will your team open up? That's the question. We've got the answer as we get up with you, starting right now. It's a national holiday. It's schedule release day. The defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We now know they're opening the Thursday night game against Dallas. They have the fourth easiest schedule. No game will be bigger than Tom Brady's return to Foxborough. Tonight, we'll find out when that will be. The toughest schedule in the sport belongs to the Steelers in what could be Ben Roethlisberger's last season. The last four teams with the toughest schedule finished under 500. And we got plenty of really good games here. The opening Monday night game will be the Ravens and the Raiders. It'll be the first game in Las Vegas in which the fans will be in attendance. That's the opening Monday night. You're accustomed to seeing John Gruden on Monday nights. Well, you're going to. Here's the week one schedule for you. You see it? Cowboys and Buccaneers. Look at that Sunday schedule. A lot of really interesting games. Bears, will it be Justin Fields against Aaron Donald in his first game? That's the opening Sunday night game. Again, we've got Ravens, Raiders as our first Monday night game. So the week one schedule is now in front of us. Let's focus in on the first of those games here. Cowboys-Buccaneers. That's not unexpected. It sure will be a high-profile opener for the NFL on that Thursday night. Marcus, you are the former Cowboy. How do you think that works out for Dallas opening up against Tampa Tom?
I think it's great for the Cowboys. It's the litmus test, right? Like, you get to go in against the reigning Super Bowl champions. You get to test yourself against that defense from an offensive standpoint. And usually, defenses are ahead early in the season because offenses are working kinks out and vice versa. Dan Quinn gets to test this defense against what Tampa Bay is doing. Now, look. I fully expect Tampa to win the damn game based on today. That may change as we go forward. But the bottom line is, this is a great, great start for the Dallas Cowboys to figure out where they are and find out the things that they need to do to continue to get better throughout this season. I love the fact that this matchup is happening between Tampa and Dallas.
Kimberly, why are we laughing?
Because Marcus is saying this is a great litmus test for the Cowboys. Can the Cowboys, why do we have to start with I love this matchup, but really, they don't need this litmus test. They just need to try to beat the Eagles and the Giants. Let's start real basic, please. With the division. I love this matchup because Jerry, the star, the defending Super Bowl champions, it's great. But really, as much as Tom Brady and I believe they're going to win the Super Bowl again, this matchup really is about the Cowboys. Where are they? Where's Dak? Where's this defense? The new defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn, Mike McCarthy, how much control does he have over anything? How is he going to be a better coach? So I love all of the storylines. Like you said, Marcus, even though we expect the Bucs to win, this is more about who are the 2021 Dallas Cowboys? When will the real Cowboys show up?
Ninko, how do you think your buddy Tom Brady is looking at this, glancing at that schedule and seeing, okay, I got the highest profile game imaginable to open my age 44 season on September 9th?
I don't think Tom's worried about high-profile games. I think he's had a few in his career. So let's not forget that Dak literally was on the turf with his foot pointed the other way, and he's coming back from a serious injury, and he's going to play a defense that is fast, and they get after the quarterback. So when you look at a football player, when it comes to coming back from injuries, a lot of that is having confidence that you can go out there and do exactly what you were doing before those injuries. So You know, I think it's going to be a tough challenge for Dak to just to go into that matchup and think like, hey, I'm going to be back to where I was at before this injury. There's going to be a few, let's say, bumps in the road in him having the confidence to go out there and just let it go and let it fly. So, yes, sir, what would you like to say?
Yes, Marcus.
Oh, Lord.
Marcus, what's up, man?
I do love the technique, but I just got to add this in because we talk about the Dallas Cowboys in reference to Dak, which is always going to be polarizing, and we're going to talk about the quarterback. And I know for a fact, like everybody else, that Zeke didn't have the greatest year last year. But don't forget that Zeke Elliott is in the backfield and potentially with a healthy offensive line. Like, this will not be the same team. It will not be all on Dak to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It will be about the Dallas Cowboys offense with 21 involved out of the backfield, hopefully recreating some of those things that made us think he was a top back in this league.
Here's why this worked out really well
Let me tell you why this worked out so well for the Cowboys.
Okay. Because there are two games that you're definitively going to lose. One of them is at the defending Super Bowl champs on that Thursday night. That's a very tough spot. The second is at Tampa Bay. So the Cowboys got two losses out of the way in only one game. The Buccaneers will be a double-digit favorite by the time we get to that one. And we got the entire schedule release coming your way tonight. The NFL schedule release show, 8 Eastern on ESPN2, ESPN+, and the NFL Network. Our Monday night crew of Steve Levy, Brian Greasy, Lewis Riddick, along with Shefty, will take you through every team's schedule, break down the biggest matchups in a 3-hour special, and we will have much more on week one as we continue. Meanwhile, to the thriller of the night, and that indeed it was, Lakers, Knicks, Hollywood style in L.A. The biggest star not on the floor, LeBron James, but Anthony Davis was. Fourth quarter, Lakers down by 5. Andre Drummond, AD, yes, a 3-point game. Tied now with under 2 minutes to go. Derrick Rose. Oh, he's found the fountain of youth. Watch him here. Hanging. Scoring. 27 for D. Rose. Knicks a 2-point lead. Spike loves it. 20 seconds left. Knicks up by 2. Look at AD. D-ing up on Julius Randle. Knicks don't get a shot up. 24-second clock violation. Knicks turn it over. Ensuing Laker possession. 10 seconds left. Caldwell Pope. No. Wesley Matthews working hard. Yes, LeBron wants a foul. Doesn't get it. Tied at 91. 3 seconds remaining. Knicks, chance to win it in regulation. Where are you going for the bucket? Julius Randle. He had 31, but doesn't get this one to go. We're going to overtime. Tied at 91 in the extra session. Lakers by 1. AD, watch him come down. Limping a little bit at the end of this play. Lakers a 3-point lead. We'll hear from him in just a moment. Buck 15 to go in the OT. Knicks down by 2. Randle for the 3. Yes, I mentioned he had 31. Knicks take a 1-point lead. 25 seconds left. The Lakers down by 1. And you're about to see the biggest shot. Talen Horton Tucker has made this year. Knocks down the 3. Oh, LeBron loves it. 2-point Laker lead. Final chance. Knicks down by 2. R.J. Barrett had a very tough night. 2 of 13 from the floor. 0 for 7 from 3. The ball finds him at the end, and that's not even close. That's how it finishes. Spike can't believe it. LeBron and AD love it. Lakers win it 101-99. Thrilling night. AD, how do we feel?
I'm hurt. not more so my body, just, my groin got tight. That was really it. Not sure where it came from, but the groin got a little tight. And there's no way I was coming off the game. I mean, big game for us. You know, a team who's playing real high. You know, the situation that we're in, trying to battle for 6.
And Davis is iffy for that battle. Again, they're taking on Houston. He's iffy for that game. The Lakers are 7th in the West, a game out of 5th. The top 6 teams avoid the play-in. You know that by now. You see where these teams are all jumbled in right there. Warriors and Memphis are locked in to the play-in. And let's bring in the big fella, Big Perk, Kendrick Perkins, who gets up with us early today. So where do we stand? That's a big night last night. Your guy LeBron doesn't play. AD hobbled, but they get a win they need. How important is it to the Lakers to get out of the play-in tournament, Big Perk?
It don't even matter, right? I think the Lakers feel that confident. And if you watch them last night, their defense was on point like Rondo. I mean, they have the best defensive team in the league. They hung their ass on the defensive end. But I will say this, okay? Look, the Lakers right now are letting their role players find their rhythm. That was the best game, in my opinion, that I've seen out of Andre Drummond. Talen Horton Tucker had to play out of position last night. He had to actually be the point guard with Caruso being out. And that's a great thing. Wesley Matthews is finding his rhythm in the offense. So that's great for the Lakers. I strongly believe that the Lakers are super confident that with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they don't care where they fall in, whether that's the play-in or the sixth seed.
So how would you then handle their play, their minutes, everything for the last three games they have this season? Are you playing them?
Well, look, here it is. I would sit AD out tonight because they're playing the Houston Rockets, okay? G-U-I, Stephen A., Max, and Rachel Nichols could beat the Houston Rockets. But look, I would sit AD out. I would play LeBron James. And then after that, they whole team has to play. LeBron and AD has to play the rest of the games, because their legs have to get adjusted to the workload. And they have to develop a chemistry playing with a guy like Andre Drummond, a new addition to the team. LeBron, AD, and Drummond haven't had a chance to play together, fill each other out, and they only have a few games to get it in before the postseason starts. So the workload, their chemistry, LeBron and AD, especially LeBron getting his rhythm back, they have to play every game after this Houston Rockets game. I will rest AD tonight, but after that, him and LeBron should play the remainder of the season.
And I will just point out in closing that Rachel Nichols is money from three, and I know you know that well, but I want to make sure everybody does. Big Perk, stay close. You're coming back later in the hour as we continue. Coming up, what convinced Urban Meyer to give Tim Tebow a shot in Jacksonville? He's talking about it. You'll hear what he had to say. Plus, it may be the biggest story in baseball. Shohei Ohtani did something last night. It's only been done two other times. Jess Mendoza will be here to talk about it as we get up with you on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. We are back, and amidst all the NFL scheduling news, this is still what is reverberating in social media and beyond. The Jaguars expected to sign Tim Tebow to a one-year contract to play tight end. You know he hasn't played since the 2015 preseason. You know he'll be reunited with his former college coach, Urban Meyer, who was on Chris Collinsworth's podcast talking about Tebow's workout with Jacksonville's coaches.
They come in and they said, wow, you know, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
Again, he's saying that as though this is a decision that has not yet been made. The overwhelming expectation is that it has. And so, again, I just want to reset for those who don't know. Marcus, I mean, you have worked with Tim Tebow directly on the SEC Network for a really long time. You know him better than just about anybody. So what is your perspective on all this?
Gee, listen, this is about Urban Meyer and Tim's relationship for us to even get to this point. But then after that relationship, after that plug, because we all need one and we want one to get into certain situations that would be conducive to us having success. Now, the other part is Tim ain't a tight end in the NFL. Like, we can have this conversation two-part. We could talk about the part where Urban Meyer and Tim have this relationship and it can get him in the door in Jacksonville. The problem with football is you got to play the damn game. The problem with football is you got to be good enough to block, to catch, and to do all of the things you need to do while another man is trying to stop you from doing all of those things. I would not recommend going playing tight end in the NFL when you've never done it before? You've been a quarterback your entire life, which you thrived at, arguably the best to ever do it in college football. The problem with this situation is you actually have to play football.
That's exactly right. And so with that thought in mind, Rob Ninkovich, do you see him on the roster? It's all well and good for them to be talking about this and doing this and getting whatever attention it brings, whatever other purpose it serves on May 12th. But when we get to September 12th, do you see Tim Tebow on the Jacksonville roster when they open against Houston?
No. I would like to bet that if you threw a helmet and shoulder pads on me and I haven't played in 4 years, that I would be able to throw around Tim Tebow as a tight end, okay? Listen, you can't just go from quarterback to a tight end. You can't do it. There's guys on rosters, and this is one of the issues that I have with the whole thing. There's some kid that's coming out of college that wants an opportunity and wants just to have that roster spot to go out and have the opportunity to possibly make a team. Tim Tebow has had his opportunity in the NFL. He was a quarterback. Didn't last very long. Then he wanted to go play baseball. Okay, go play baseball. Didn't work out in baseball. So now his relationship with Urban Meyer gives him another chance to go play football. But it's not like in football. This is one reason that I love football and I fell in love with the game. You can't hide. You can't hide in football. You can't go out in left field and just, you know, go somewhere. When you're on that field and you put pads on, you're exposed. And that's why I love the game, because when you put pads on and somebody was talking, you say, all right, let's just put pads on. Let's see who's the tougher guy. And you can see the people that can play, and you can see it with your eyes. The film don't lie. The eye in the sky. We used to say the eye in the sky don't lie, because once that film is on, you can be exposed. So for me, I just don't think that mentally as a quarterback going to a physical position where you have to block and go against big men, that he'll be able to do that.
I will point out, Nico, you have played in the NFL significantly more recently than Tim Tebow has, for whatever that is worth. Kimberly, what are you hearing from people around the league?
Yeah, Greeny, you know, it's shock, bewilderment, and also, you know, I've heard everything from there's no way this dude is making the team.
Kept saying bewilderment.
At best, a practice squad, or watch, he might just retire before training camp. You know, I've heard coaches on the Jaguars don't want Tim Tebow on the roster. Nothing against Tim, but it just is everything that comes with Tim. And talking to NFL execs, you know, they say, I guarantee you, trust me, none of us are talking about Tim Tebow besides the Jaguars and the media, because nobody is concerned about this dude actually making it to a roster. And nobody, even if he does make it to a roster, defensive ends, linebacker, safeties, nobody's worried about actually having to contain Tim Tebow. When I was on the Jets beat in 2012 when he was there, he was described as stiff then by people in that organization. He's probably stiffer now. So around the league, people don't think this is a big deal. They see it more as Urban's chance to drum up interest and sell tickets down in Jacksonville, where clearly they need to get some interest in the squad.
Yeah, and look, in that very particular part of the country, Tim Tebow is an icon and will be forever, and let's see what winds up, and deservedly so. And so we will see what winds up happening there. We'll have more on this as we go. But guess who's gotten up with us early today? Jessica Mendoza is here to talk about the most interesting player in baseball in recent memory, the Astros and the Angels last night. And Jess, it was all about Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani, I mean, this is one of his best starts, Greeny, and the way that he utilized his fastball, all of his pitches, to be able to set up that dirty splitter that he can throw. And what he was able to do, you gotta understand, he has struggled this season with his command, but not in this start against the Astros. In the eighth inning, I mean, his ability then to go to right field because they want to keep him in the game. This is what I love so much about what Ohtani can do.
Yeah, Ohtani becomes the third pitcher since 1900 to have 10 strikeouts, then play the field at a different position, and he saw that. Yuli Gurriel just demolishing a three-run homer to left. In the end, the Astros wind up winning the game by a score of 5-1. But the storyline is Ohtani, who throws a gem. He's fourth this season in strikeouts per nine innings. You can't lose his bat from the lineup either. He's one home run from the major league lead and second in extra base hits. So let's talk about Ohtani. Let's talk about him as a pitcher, Jess. We watch his stuff. What is it that makes him so tough to hit?
You know, it's his ability to set up his best pitches. I mean, we talk a lot about the splitter. I just mentioned it before. But the guy has the ability to showcase his fastball in a multitude of locations. Plus, he's got off-speed pitches in his slider, in his curveball. But watch the fastball. 1-1 here. Look at the dot, low and outside. That ability to command the fastball comes back again. And this is against Maldonado with a fastball 98 miles an hour at the top of the zone. This is something that he has struggled with, to command the fastball early in the season. This is what's so scary. And then watch him get in the kitchen of Yuli Gurriel, be able to get inside 97 miles an hour. So now we've seen him paint low and away, up and in. And then what does he do? He sets up for his best pitch and one of the best in all of baseball, that splitter. So his just watching him be able to light up the strike zone in a multitude of areas, all the pitches that he throws. I mean, last night was his best start of the season, and he's only getting better.
It's a special story. I mean, it literally is a once-in-a-century kind of story. While I have you, quickly, let's go through a couple other things. The Yankees finally beat the Rays. They get home runs from Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez. Thoughts on the Yankees today?
Well, look at the location of this pitch. This is an area that the Yankees have been beat up on. Up and in, they have struggled with fastballs. And Aaron Judge just clobbers a pitch. And this is what the Yankees do. When they win games, they do it via the home run. Plus, Gary Sanchez, a guy who has been struggling. It's been long reported, but he is someone up. If you get him up and in, you'll get him every time. But low and away, he drives this away. The Yankees have got to hit home runs to win games, and that's what they're doing.
And how about the Dodgers, who've been struggling? They came from three runs down to beat the Mariners yesterday.
Oh, Gavin Lux, and this was huge. In fact, they had a beer bath celebration post-game, Greeny, because of how huge and significant. Yes, it's only May, but Gavin Lux, his first home run of the season. He is a guy. I mean, look how fired up he is. He came up. Dave Roberts tagged him as the starting second baseman. He has struggled. He's been injured. This was huge for the Dodgers to come back and get a huge, huge win for them.
Yeah, they've been struggling for the last 2 weeks or so, but that was a big night for them. Jess, stay close, because I know you will rejoin us as we continue talking about Tim Tebow a little later, someone you have a lot of experience with. Meanwhile, we also have the NFL schedule release. It's coming out. We got the opening week. The Bears open with a tall task. Would you start Justin Fields against Aaron Donald in his first ever game? We'll answer that question next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tonight on SportsCenter, full coverage of the NFL's first ever 17-game schedule release. Find out when Tom Brady and the reigning Super Bowl champs face Bill Belichick and the Patriots, the rookie QB battle of the top 2 overall picks, and when Patrick Mahomes will meet Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Coverage begins Wednesday at 6 Eastern on ESPN and continues on ESPN2 with a SportsCenter special at 8, hosted by Monday Night Football's Steve Levy. Don't miss the live reveal of the must-see matchups in the biggest NFL season ever.
That will be fun tonight, but we now can tell you what all the week one matchups are, and you see them there on your screen. Cowboys and Buccaneers will open everything in Tampa Thursday, September 9th. The weekend will wrap up with our first Monday night game, the first ever game in which the fans in Las Vegas will get a chance to see their Raiders in person. Ravens, Raiders, the opening Monday nighter, and you see the rest of them on your screen. So as I bring it back out to my group here, we talked about Cowboys Bucks a little bit earlier. Let's get into that opening Sunday night game. And I'm trying to picture Justin Fields, Marcus. Welcome to the NFL. Say hello to this fella. His name is Aaron Donald. Does the fact that Donald is on the other side affect your perspective on whether or not Fields should be the week one starter?
Hell no. You can't hide forever, Justin Fields. Get introduced to the man that tears everybody up. And obviously, that's why they wanted that athleticism. That's why we beat the table before the draft, saying you need to have guys that can improvise and go off schedule. And there will be no better time for Justin Fields to go off schedule than playing that Aminal number 99. And it'll be a great test for not only him, but for Matt Nagy and how he can deal with these type of defenses and these type of fronts that Justin Fields will face. So I would be excited to see him against it. And look, everybody knows that I'm bullish on Justin Fields. I believe the kid is going to turn into a great quarterback in this league. I believe you can attribute some of the things that we saw from Justin Herbert to Justin Fields. I believe that he has the right makeup, the right mentality. And listen, that's a big part of me saying a rookie should start week one. Right? Is he built the right way? Has he been through some adversity? Has he had to deal with playing through injury and fighting and playing in big games and winning big games? Justin Fields has done all of that. That's why I was like, why is he not the second best quarterback going in this draft? So he'll have his opportunity, I believe, against Aaron Donald and that defense with the LA Rams and Jalen Ramsey being out there as well. And we'll see where he is.
Well, let me ask Chicagoland's own Rob Ninkovich. As you well know, Dot Bears have waited 121 years for their savior at the quarterback position. Are you at all worried about putting him out there against number 99 in his first game? Nink.
Look, you're going against one of the best in the league. I mean, if not the best in the league right now. So, of course, he's going to take his lumps as a rookie going against the best up front that he's going to see all season. I think I'm more excited to see Matt Stafford, you know, going up in that matchup. You're going to see an offense with the Rams going against another offense in the Bears that we really don't know what the Bears are going to look like. We kind of have an idea of what the Rams are going to look like and having a quarterback now and an offensive-minded head coach that's going to come up with a lot of different things. So it's going to be a really awesome week one. I can't wait to see it. Just like Swag was saying, he was pumped up when he saw the schedule. I was excited just to see the schedule because I know that football is close. So I can't wait to see that matchup. But I know the Chicago Bears fans, the super fans are excited to have a quarterback for the first time in a long time. Dick almost went in there quarterback back in the day, but he was a tight end.
That game will be 4 months from tonight is when they'll be playing. And Kimberly, we were talking earlier today about the pressure on the coach and everybody early. Well, we haven't gotten the point spreads yet, but that's a game in which they're going to be a pretty significant underdog, I would think, on the road against a Rams team with Matt Stafford. So that's not an easy way to start for a bunch of people who are under a lot of pressure.
No, all three of them, Nagy, Pace, and Justin Fields have a lot of pressure on them. But I'm actually glad that Rob brought up the Rams because there's a lot of pressure on them as well. So Sean McVay and his team. So I think when you've got a young QB in Chicago, you want to develop him. You want to make a decision. You want to put him in the right situation. So if you're going to go with Justin Fields in week one, cool. Let all of our focus be on that. If you say he's not ready yet, throw out Andy Dalton and let Justin Fields take the time to get better. I understand the pressure on the front office and people want to keep their jobs, but really when you draft young QBs, it's on you to develop them. That's a failure on you if they don't. So you want to make sure that they make the right call. Don't do he's our guy this week. I don't know, he's regressed. Like, I've watched too many bad QBs in this league. I've covered too many bad QBs in bad situations. I don't want to see it happen to Justin.
Let me get you one more game that will be played 4 months from today on that September 12th. Marcus, mark the tape. I'm calling it right now.
Weeks.
I've been saying over and over, the Cleveland Browns are the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC. I'm calling it right now. Cleveland goes to Kansas City and wins week one. Give a huge week one win to Baker that'll still matter in December. Marcus, I like the face. What's your reaction?
Gee, my reaction, I'm trying to think. Damn it, you got me flustered. I don't know, because listen, I believe the Cleveland Browns are going to be really good as well. But you know, I'm bewildered. Kim, I'm bewildered. Your word, that's your word. Listen, I still can't get past the fact that Patrick Mahomes is in Kansas City. And listen, I know we have a different level of thinking because of what happened in the Super Bowl. But remember, this team signed Orlando Brown Jr. This team signed Joe Thuney. They obviously have the most explosive offense, believe it or not. steal in the NFL when you think about who's playing quarterback and who his weapons and receivers are. And listen, this is the thing I want people to remember, because this is not me being down on the Cleveland Browns based on your question, G. I think, this is my belief, that Patrick Mahomes will be scorched earth like LeBron was the year after he lost to the Golden State Warriors. I think that mentality is going to infiltrate the Kansas City Chiefs team. And from his leadership and Andy Reid and those guys remembering what happened to them in the last game of the season, you may see a different animal from this football team. And to me, that is scary. And to me, there is no team, including the Cleveland Browns and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that is safe if Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are playing with that type of mindset and fully healthy.
I got you. But you want to hear who else is going to be a different animal? The Cleveland defense. Then not only did they add Jadeveon Clowney, they drafted Greg Newsome, and then the most important name, second round, Ninkovich, they drafted Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, who fell to them because of some medical concerns. That guy was a top 15 player in this draft, and he's going to make people's lives miserable. I love the Browns defense this year. What do you think, Nink? I got him winning week one.
I think the biggest question mark is going to be the Kansas City's offensive line. You know, Kyle Long is coming back from a year off in retirement. He's supposed to be penciled in there at guard, maybe tackle. You go pay Tooney a ton of money, so he's going to be there as your guard. The biggest question mark we saw in the Super Bowl was the tackle positions. Can they make sure that they protect Mahomes going against a great defense? We know Cleveland has a great defense, and they're going to be even better this year. So the number one thing when you go into a game as a defensive player, you understand, how do we affect this game? We get after the quarterback. We hit him early. So it's going to be key that the Chiefs were able to make that offensive line a lot better than what we saw in the Super Bowl.
All right, we will see the entire schedule come out tonight. Everybody sit tight. I got stuff I got to get to. We're coming back with much more football as we go. But let's run the floor. Through a very interesting night in the NBA, we showed you the Lakers and the Knicks. How about Joel Embiid not in action last night with a non-COVID-related illness, and the Sixers missed him. The Pacers would rally late to beat Philly 103-94, snapping the Sixers' 8-game winning streak. They do still lead the Nets by 2 games in the battle for the number one seed in the East. Speaking of the Nets, Kyrie Irving left their game against Chicago after getting hit in the face. Coach Steve Nash said x-rays were, quote, inconclusive. Kyrie will have another x-ray today. Meanwhile, the Nets could get James Harden back in the lineup tonight. But that was a scary-looking moment right there. Elsewhere, Boston, Tyler Hero scored 24 as the Heat clinched a playoff spot, beating the Celtics 129-121. Miami now the 5th seed in the East. Celtics are now the 7th seed in the East and likely headed to the play-in tournament. And tonight's NBA doubleheader is all about playoff position. At 7 Eastern, the Wizards are trying to get to the 8th spot in the East. The Hawks trying to hold on to the 4. Then the Blazers trying to hold on to 5 in the West. Jazz trying to lock up number 1. All the action tonight on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, explaining the inexplicable. Urban talking Tebow. You need to hear it. Next, get up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, and we are back on Get Up with the NFL news that has made all the waves this week. The Jaguars going to sign Tim Tebow to a 1-year contract. He'll be a tight end. He hasn't played in the league since the preseason of 2015. He'll be reunited with his old college coach, Urban Meyer, who was on Chris Collinsworth's podcast talking about Tebow's workout with the coaches.
They come in and they said, wow, you know, this guy's ball skills. He's a great athlete. He looks like he's 18 years old, not 20, whatever he is, 33. And I said, guys, you don't understand. Now, this guy is, you know, he's the most competitive maniac you're ever going to talk to. And let's give it a shot. And I have not decided if we're going to do that or not yet. I'm getting close. I got to make a decision here pretty soon.
So much of this, of course, is about relationships, and that's why we wanted to bring Jess into the conversation here, because, Jess, this is something, that competitiveness is something that you have seen with your own eyes when you were involved with the Mets organization and Tebow was there with the Mets organization. So with that as the background, what is your perspective on what he's doing here?
Yeah, I mean, when I was with the Mets, it was the same thing, and I have to say I respect the guy so much for putting himself out there, because this was the same story when he was with the Mets. I mean, just tons of media attention, so much criticism. No one believed in him. I mean, this guy is an athlete, and that's what I always saw in him. I knew that he wasn't going to make it to the big leagues. But the point was, he was putting himself out there, making himself super vulnerable in a sport that he had not played in a very long time, trying to hit, trying to play the outfield, doing all that he possibly could, knowing that every single person that was out there watching did not believe in him, did not think that he could do it. And I see the same with football right now. The amount of media attention, I respect the guy, the fact that he is putting himself out there in a way that most people wouldn't. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But I definitely give him kudos for trying.
I hear that, and I think that's really interesting. And again, Marcus, I will once again underline your relationship with him. You have sat next to him for how many years on SEC, on the countdown show that you guys do on Saturday mornings, and so many other things. So no one thinks he can do this, right? You don't. No one thinks he can come back and play tight end in the National Football League here. So why do you think this is happening, Marcus?
Well, one, G, it's because of the relationship. And I'm with Jessica. Like, Tim is an uber competitor.
But why is he doing it? I get why Urban is doing it, because of the relationship. Why is Tim doing it?
When you call him and find out, let me know. Okay, because Tim is successful in a lot of aspects in life. He doesn't need football. He doesn't need to play football. He doesn't need to be out there. This game is hard, man. Like, we get so enamored with Tim Tebow, the person. We got to get to the football part of this. That's the issue. Just like Jessica was talking about with baseball. I was with him working at SEC Network, at SEC Nation, when he went to play baseball. And I said the same exact thing Jessica said. And he had some success in lower tier ball, but the major leagues was the goal, and everybody knew that that wasn't going to happen because you've been away for so long, and players that are in the majors have been at this game. They've been fighting the farm systems forever to try to get up into this point, who had a leg up on you, not only while you were playing football, but being on TV as well. Now we get to the NFL. And we had the conversation about Tim when he was playing quarterback. Should he change positions? What can he do? Can we find a role for him? Because people are attached and drawn to his competitive nature, his competitive spirit, how he goes about his business in preparation and getting ready to play. But that's why I said 15 minutes ago, G, don't nobody give a damn about your competitive nature, your competitive spirit. The game of football is, can you do a job to help us win games? That is where we find the line in the sand. That is where this thing gets complicated. I don't believe you can be away from this game this long, never play in a position, and come back and say, yeah, I'm gonna do this in the pros against guys that's been doing this the last 8 years that you've been out in TV and playing baseball. That's my belief. I could be wrong, and Tim has proved people wrong in his life. We'll see what happens. I just don't see it happening that way.
And to Jessica's point, no one believes that he can do it. And Kimberly, I'd love you to tell quickly the story. You talk about how the circus has come into town. You were there for this in 2012 with the Jets. And tell the story about the, when they would work on his plays at in training camp.
I was hoping I'd keep this in the vault forever. But yeah, no, training camp in Cortland. I mean, we had players were forming a wall so the media could not see the special secret Tebow Wildcat package. Ooh, that was gonna like take every team by storm. And guess what? None of those plays actually made it into the game, and he did nothing with the Jets. And I think the circus that comes with him, it's just so much attention. We are talking about him. We're constantly talking about him. NFL personnel do not think he's going to make it on this roster, and don't even know if he's actually, they think he might retire in training camp. So this almost feels like the Jaguars are inviting the circus, like, hey, clown, like, come on in, like, everybody set up shop, like, because he's just that guy. Like, everybody loves talking about him, and it's just the football aspect. That's the part that everybody is stuck on in the NFL, like, a tight end. Think about the best tight ends that are out there. Kittle, Kelsey, That's not Tebow type stuff.
It doesn't feel that way. Jessica, let me say something. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jess. Go ahead, Jess.
No, I was going to give Jessica the final word. I'm up against a break. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just feel like this is more about Urban. I feel like just knowing that this is one of his guys. And when I look at, you know, Tim, Marcus, you know him so well. But even knowing Urban, I mean, this is getting his guys in the system. I don't think the intention is to get him on the field as much as it is about having his guys in a space that is so new for Urban, wanting to set the tone, someone that he understands and knows. He's got guys from Ohio State, I get it, but this is his dude. And knowing that he's going to be there in the system, even if he ends up retiring in training camp, just the influence that he can have maybe amongst other players, reiterating being there for Urban Meyer.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. Marcus, hold the thought. I will come back. I'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll finish up with a little bit on that. And again, the schedule release. Jessica Mendoza, thank you for getting up with us. Also, I want to make sure everyone remembers about our film. We will premiere tomorrow ESPN Films' latest documentary, 144, an unprecedented look at last year's WNBA season in the bubble, executive produced by our very own Shanae Agumbuke, exploring the season dedicated to social injustice and everything they overcame to get through it. It's 9 Eastern tomorrow on ESPN and the ESPN app, and it'll be available on ESPN Plus immediately after the premiere. Coming up, back to the Week 1 schedule release again. Where will Aaron Rodgers be playing Week 1? New Orleans or maybe New Jersey? We'll explain why that is very much on the table. And then First Take comes along. Can Steph and the Warriors make a big postseason run? Can Tom Brady and the Bucks run the table? We'll answer those questions and more. First Take, next on ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back on Get Up. We'll get back to the NFL schedule release in a moment. But first, Marcus, I wanted to give you the final word. You had something to finish with on the Tim Tebow Jacksonville situation. What is it?
Yeah, I was thinking about, G, when Kim said the circus is coming when Tim Tebow comes. That, and people get it twisted. That's not his fault. Like, Tim Tebow hasn't said anything, I don't think, in regards to being the tight end for Jacksonville. So let's be careful before we start tagging him as the guy that's drumming up all of this. It's Urban Meyer, and the circus only comes if the circus chooses to come. That was my point when she was talking about how it was with Tim with the New York Jets. I think sometimes he gets a bad rep for that attention-seeking part of it when you don't really have to have attention if people don't come and watch every single thing you do. So I just wanted to make that point when Kim was talking about the circus arriving.
I think it's 100% fair. He's not the circus, but the circus follows him, and it's on its way to Jacksonville. Meanwhile, yep. The schedule release is on its way tonight. We've got Week 1 matchups for you here. Here are some of the highlights of what we know about Week 1. It couldn't start bigger. The Thursday night game to open the season September 9th. We'll have the defending champion Buccaneers right back in the stadium where they won it, hosting the Cowboys, who will have Dak Prescott back under center. The team that lost in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, will host the Browns in a 4:25 matchup on Sunday, September 12th. KC, of course, knocked the Browns out of last season's playoffs. Our opener on Monday night is a great one. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens will be in Vegas to take on the Raiders. It'll be the first game ever for the Raiders fans to come and see them at home in Las Vegas. And then, of course, there's these two games. Which of them will Aaron Rodgers be playing in? Will Rodgers be at New Orleans with the Packers? Will he be in East Rutherford, New Jersey with the Broncos taking on the Giants? Those are just some of the things that we have our eyes on here as we circle them. But again, as we look at some of the most interesting matchups of all, let's go back to it for those who are just joining us. Marcus, Cowboys, Bucks, what chance do you give Dallas of stunning the world and opening with a big win on that Thursday night?
Me?
Yes, Marcus.
You said me, G?
Yeah.
I don't want to say zero, but it's like 5 because I think Tampa is just going to be way better than Dallas at that point of the season. And listen, this is why, right? We got 17 weeks now. There'll be time for the Dallas Cowboys to continue to get their footing. But Week 1 ain't the week you want to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes,
I don't believe.
We did not get Kimberly's perspective on my calling for the upset, the big upset week one, although I don't think the number is going to be that big. I've got your Cleveland Browns, Kimberly Martin, going to Kansas City and opening the season with an eye-opening win at the Chiefs. What do you think, Kimberly?
You know what? I don't hate it. I don't hate it. Here's why. I know Marcus is dug in on the Chiefs, but I don't think that other teams see them as invincible anymore. I know they've upgraded their roster. They addressed the offensive line. But the Browns, they're a confident bunch, right? And they did play the Chiefs pretty well. Like, I've covered so many of their games that I don't see any team, if they're at their best, they could beat anybody, probably except for the Bucks, right? So I could see the Browns pulling off an upset. That doesn't shock me. It really doesn't. I'll give you props for that, Greeny.
Right.
I actually agree with you. Okay.
You and I tend to be on the same wavelength with a lot of different things. Meanwhile, Ninko, I'm coming to you. Let's go back to the Aaron Rodgers thing I put up there. Give me a little Ninko crystal ball. Will Rodgers open up in New Orleans as a Packer, or will he open up in New Jersey as a Bronco?
I'm channeling all my energy into trying to figure out who is going to trade away. Who's going to be the idiot and trade away Aaron Rodgers? I think somebody in Green Bay. And if he goes to the Broncos, listen up. If he goes to the Broncos, that Green Bay-New Orleans game will be irrelevant because everyone's going to want to see him play New York. So it all comes down to where is it going to be? It's a magical mystery on where he's going to be. So for me, wherever he's at, wherever Aaron Rodgers is at, that team obviously has what I think is the best chance of winning week one. If he's not in Green Bay, well, guess what? I mean,
Go, Marcus.
Will he be in Green Bay? Will he be
He will be in Green Bay.
What is the answer?
Okay, He's going to Denver.
Y'all. That's all I got to say.
He's going to Denver. The schedule is coming out tonight. We got week one. Point spreads will be out soon. It may be May 12th, but it feels a whole lot like football season around here. Thanks for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Day starts now.